ASISU Speaks is a weekly program on KISU-FM focused on Idaho State University from a student's perspective. This is Christoph Kasun. Today, I am joined by Julie Raymond, a doctoral student in political science at Idaho State. Julie has a background in cultural anthropology and is working towards a career in environmental administration. This year, Julie will be attending her fifth conference of parties, the Supreme International Decision-Making Body for Climate Policy, which will be taking place December 2nd through 13th in Santiago, Chile. Hi, Julie.
Hi there.
How are you doing today?
Really good, thanks.
Good. Thanks for being in the studio with me today.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm excited to have you on because not only are you a non-traditional student, which right. I think a lot of the times at our campus, they never really get emphasized enough. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't seem to be putting as much effort on non-trads, even though they're about 40% of our population.
Uh-huh.
So I think you would be a great, great person to kind of speak on non-traditional student life
right.
and how different that is from what we usually perceive to be the college experience.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I've known you for a few years. We've had many classes together.
Mm-hmm.
Borders.
Right, yeah. International borders.
International mm-hmm. borders, such a great, phenomenal class. We always yeah. have so much fun together, don't we?
I know, right, yeah. The discussions are always robust.
Always on point. And I know you, but maybe we can give the public a little bit more of your background.
Sure.
So they can get a better sense of who Julie is. So
okay.
Where are you from?
Originally?
Mm-hmm.
I'm originally from Iowa.
Okay. And how did you end up in Idaho?
A
long, winding road, I'm assuming.
It was a long, winding road, but I actually pulled it out of a hat.
Yeah?
This is in the early 90s.
Wow.
So yeah, when he says non-traditional, he means old.
I didn't say that. She did.
But I pulled it out of a hat. I put five cities with universities and mountains in a hat, and I just pulled out
Pocatello. Oh, my God.
I packed up my little Nissan Sentra, and I moved out here.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Happy with the decision?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love Idaho.
How long have you been in Idaho since?
Since then.
Since
mm-hmm.
then.
Yeah.
And when did you start your time at Idaho State?
Well, I did some early coursework when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
But I found working two full-time jobs and going to school full-time to be
extremely difficult.
Difficult.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I decided to wait for a better time.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2011, I decided I was old enough that it was either going to be now or never.
Right. Okay.
And so I just took the plunge and came back to school.
And now you're in doctoral
yeah,
studies.
Yeah, and I committed myself to never stopping. I said, there's no reason, there will never be something, some reason for me to quit. So no matter what happens, I'm finishing.
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you decide on political science? Was it always something you knew you wanted to study?
Well, it's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah?
My earlier degrees are in anthropology,
mm-hmm.
But I found that my course selections were heavily leading into political science.
Yeah.
Now, I can do political anthropology, but I really loved the department here,
mm-hmm.
and I just feel so honored to be part of
this group.
This group, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I completely agree. Our faculty
yes,
is
yeah.
the best at
it is
ISU.
The best, yeah.
In the world,
exactly.
I would even say.
yeah.
And I love our cohorts. We have such incredible students in the
do.
Program.
Mm-hmm. And people are involved in interesting things.
Yeah.
And it's great to hear how everyone progresses through the program and mm-hmm. finishes and then what they do afterward.
Right.
I feel like they're very good at showing us how we can use our education and what kinds of jobs and positions we can hold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And share resources or connections.
Absolutely.
Mentor and help each other through grad school because it's
yes.
it's a dark and difficult time,
yes.
y'all. Grad school is not easy.
That's the truth.
Like, there are days yeah. you wake up in grad school and you question every single decision you've ever made in
yeah.
your life.
I definitely felt the change in in pressure
yeah.
and in the tasks and things like that. I definitely felt the change going into grad school.
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely. Like, they mm-hmm. raise you,
you
the stakes
the
raise.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which is good. That's what I'm paying for.
Right, exactly. I want to be challenged.
Yeah, I want to be challenged. Exactly. Yes, please ask me questions I may not know the answer to.
Yes. And Julie, I know you mentioned a lot in class that you come from more of a corporate type of profession.
Yeah, I've had a full life of working, you know, so I've held leadership positions and customer-facing business development positions and been successful in those endeavors.
Yeah.
But I always felt the pull to finish my education. It's the one dream that has endured through my entire life. Yeah.
Wow.
And I could have not done it, but I would always be wondering what would have happened if I had.
Right.
So it's something I really needed to finish.
Was there a particular experience you had working or something you were going through maybe at the time that made you realize I have to leave this and start school again?
What a compelling question. Yeah, it was in the early 90s and I was in an area conference in Colorado Springs sitting in a boardroom. And the company was basically informing us what the expectations were for the year. And I was sitting there listening to those objectives. And I just had this random thought that if I died today, my life would say nothing about who I am. Because I was spending, investing everything about myself in the accomplishment of those goals, which is great. But on the back burner, I had these things that I really wanted to finish.
Right.
And so at that point, I made a decision that I had to change my life and make my decisions differently from then on. And I actually have.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I hope that's very inspiring for other people.
Maybe.
It is for me. Right. And I think you're completely right. So much of what we do today is work.
Yes.
You know, and it's not like back in the day when work was, I'm a carpenter, I'm creating a table.
Right.
This table is my piece of art. I put a piece of my soul in it and I sell this table and somebody enjoys my work. Nowadays, we're kind of like third-party contractors.
Yes.
Almost. And we work in these professions and these organizations and these corporations. And as you said, we're producing products and doing things with our time and emotions and energy that has nothing to do with us.
Right. I think the thing that gets lost in all of this also is that when you spend that much, when you have a full-time job or you're invested in a career, you spend more time with your coworkers than you do with your family.
It's so true.
Yeah. And so the things that give us meaning are, I guess, I don't want to say incidental, but in terms of time management, they get a lot less investment than the ways that we make money.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. And I think the ramifications of that are clear.
Right.
And they're widespread. We can see the impact. Families being torn apart just by society today.
Yeah.
It's just so difficult to create that work-life balance.
Yeah, work-life balance is important.
Super important. Yeah, also important if you're going to go to grad school.
Yeah, I actually feel a little hypocritical talking about a work-life balance because all I do is work on school.
I get it.
But I also feel strongly that I'm reminded as we're talking here, I feel strongly about the idea that it wasn't until I came to ISU, until I embarked upon my academic career, that anyone ever asked me what I was interested in.
Yeah.
In terms of doing, you know? So it is an opportunity to define your interests and what you engage in life.
Right. To kind of really do some introspection.
Yeah. The university president isn't assigning me a task or a role. You know, these departments are here to address the things that interest us, the directions we want to take.
Absolutely. So you're the boss. You're the boss of
the
your
boss.
Own little corporation.
Yes.
The little Julie Raymond PhD Incorporated.
Whatever will be.
Right.
It's up to me.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And they just have to provide that support and help guide you, give you direction, connect you with resources.
Oh, I've had great advisors here.
Yeah.
Can
we talk about mentorship? Importance of mentorship.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, I just can't talk about it enough.
Okay.
Yes.
Bring it on.
It's crazy. And I never really thought about it when I was in high school. And I had incredible mentors in high school. They were like my female teachers, you know, my history teacher, my literature teacher, because I was always a softie, always a social science guy.
Right, yeah.
And they really were the ones that got me through some difficult times.
Yes.
And they were the people that held my hand and walked me through difficult parts of my life, but also difficult parts of school.
Yes.
You know? And now, like, I think the mentors we have in our department and just at ISU, they do such a phenomenal job at keeping me in school.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They make it possible for me to keep coming.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And, not because they're making it, they just acknowledge that there's life and life can be difficult and sometimes we need to revise a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so being egalitarian, I guess, sort of in that way, it makes it possible to just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's also super important to have mentors that look like you and think like you and understand your background, your culture, your experiences. I think representation matters.
Mm-hmm.
And for any person out there who just feels a bit lost, I would 100% try and seek out a role model, a person that you can kind of not model your life after, but somebody who can give you advice on the paths that you potentially want to take.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually the student's responsibility.
I agree with this.
Yeah, to identify what areas you might need help with, or even just go talk to your advisor and say, I'm struggling with this, what would you suggest? That's what that relationship is for in some respects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes the whole process easier.
Yeah, they're not your psychotherapist, but they have gotten further down the path and can help you with the obstacles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They are the experts on this difficult road.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say if you're planning on going to school, if you're in school right now, if you're going to go to grad school, find a mentor and find one early and lock them in and become their best friend. Because that is the person
lock
you will be calling
in
the middle of the night, possibly crying.
You call
over,
yours
like,
in the middle of the night?
We haven't gotten there yet, but like,
that's like
I can see it coming.
Can they?
Yes. So, Julie, we talked a little bit about climate change in previous conversations, and I know this is something that you really care about and you're dedicated to, you know. You've been attending this conference of parties. This will be your fifth year going.
Right.
And when you told me you were going to this conference, I was like, oh my God, first of all, that's so expensive.
Yes.
And then secondly, like, that's so overwhelming to think about going to a conference where, you know, all of the experts on climate change come together to talk about this issue. So what is this experience like? Tell me a little bit about this conference and why do you keep going?
I'm completely interested in the political narrative and dialogue, how the parties interact with each other, and also how the NGOs participate in the process. Attending is pretty much like going to Disneyland of climate change. Basically, like anything you want to know there, anything you want to understand better, there will be some panel or some group talking about it, and you can go get expert. It's not hearsay. It's not a meme on Facebook.
Right,
you can go
right.
listen to the experts talk about it.
Mm-hmm. People have dedicated entire professions.
Entire professions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing about the scientific consensus here on this issue and the related. It's not just physical science. It's also social science.
Yes.
And, right. Yeah. Is that if you've ever been in a group where there's different scientific opinions being discussed or perspectives, to have this many and this broad of a consensus on the issue really does, I mean, if that doesn't alarm us, what will?
Right.
Right, you know?
Mm-hmm. You have all these experts from all over the world who come from such different backgrounds, and all of their research is showing that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it's not just the experts. I mean, like, farmers can see that the weather, it's often thought of as weather, isn't the same.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's important to make a clear distinction there that weather and climate are not the same thing.
Right.
Weather's what you experience, climate's what happens over time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the longer you stretch out that algorithm of climate over time, the more stable it becomes and the more predictable it becomes.
Right. Yeah. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love what you said about, you know, even the average person can really kind of look around and see that it's happening.
Exactly.
And whatever in your mind you want to tell yourself that it isn't happening, you're feeling it.
Yeah.
You're seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and, you know, Trinidad, my country, had some really bad flooding recently, and it was one of the worst storms we've had in a long time. And just seeing the videos of how bad the floods were, it was unreal. It was kind of a jarring moment for me. It was like, wow, it's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's really getting worse.
And the island of Dominica, which is, you know, out in the West Indies, they get hit they're like in a direct path all the time.
Of
like
hurricanes,
they just get
yeah.
run over and run over and run over and run over.
Right, like how many times will they rebuild?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think the saddest part about it is some of the countries that are being most victimized by climate change and feeling the effects the hardest are the ones who've contributed the least to the problem.
Yeah, that's climate justice.
Climate justice, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
You know, and
they have the fewest mm-hmm. resources also to invest in rebuilding. That's part of what the term loss and damage is about. Is about funding the projects of those countries so that they can accelerate their preparation and their ability to protect their citizens, their populations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of it is going to be cooperation, and a lot we see a lot of these mm-hmm. kind of small islands kind of banding together. And
that's
trying
a great
to, like,
way to do it.
You know, raise their voice.
So they're not a single voice.
Right. Yeah. Because they're already so tiny.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, many of these were former colonies, barely independent, right. New countries. Trinidad only became independent in 1962.
Right.
Like, that is not a long time for us to overcome all of the exploitation of colonialism and try to save us and the world in terms of climate.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
Absolutely. And I mean, Hurricane Maria, it was like 290 mile an hour winds, was it?
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
About, I think so.
Remembering it right, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it was a Category 5 because there's nothing higher.
Wow.
I mean, if you think about it that way, right?
Like,
they like, it was, it's as high as they could go, right?
Yeah.
There was no further way to define the impact, the strength of the storm. So I don't know if we want to do a Category 5 plus one or whatever.
Wow, imagine that.
Yeah.
You have to, like,
yeah, there's no way to really quantify what they what they experienced, and it was a direct hit.
Wow. Uh-huh. So we can't even, our old models of explaining these things aren't even working anymore.
Yeah.
It's getting that bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's happening faster than scientists thought it would.
Right.
And, I mean, you can define climate change. It's not just global warming. It's a series of impacts.
Mm-hmm.
But storm intensity and frequency is what we're looking at with those nations.
Yeah, absolutely. There are all the islands that have completely disappeared.
Right. Yeah,
right?
There are.
They
yes.
are. Uh-huh. It's happening. Yeah. It's it's funny because we've been having this conversation, I feel like, for a long time. You know?
Yeah.
It hasn't been as intense, but it's been there. And it was always one of those things for me when I was in high school or even before. I was like, oh, that's so far in the future.
Right.
And then, like, some days I wake up and I look around, I'm like, we're in the future.
Yes.
The thing is happening.
Yeah. That's one thing. Climate change isn't a future scenario. It's happening now and it's happening worldwide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have to take action today.
Right. Yeah. A lot of the migration we're seeing at the southern border has been driven by drought in Honduras.
Yeah.
If people are forced to leave their homes, there's a poet, Warsan Shah, that I love her work. Warsan Shire. And she talks about how nobody leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark.
Yes.
So if you're putting your baby in a boat and leaving home, you're doing it because, I mean, just imagine that.
Yeah.
Your infant child, you're putting them in a boat because that's safer than staying in your home.
Yeah.
And so the conditions that drive refugees to leave are already untenable.
Yeah. Conditions we can't even imagine.
Can't imagine.
Yeah. And a lot of it is privilege. It's easy, I think, for people, particularly in the developed world, which contributes.
Right. Heavily
to this whole problem. Everything's nice and compartmentalized for them. You know, you get to go to the grocery store and pick out your meat, and it's all nice and packaged, and then you get to put it in your house and then throw it away after, and then it goes into landfill. You never have to see it again. Everything is very compartmentalized.
Right. We do not have subsistence lifestyles. We're not directly relying on the rhythms of nature.
No.
Right.
It's all being taken care of at a systemic level and then handed out to us in nice, pretty packages with bows on them.
Yeah.
And I think in the developing world where we don't have that kind of compartmentalization, where you see the actual impacts, it's much easier to wake up to the problem.
Yeah, and a lot of it is financing. In the wealthier nations, you have the financial resources to make changes or mitigate a certain situation, make it less severe at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live in a poorly constructed home on an island nation, without the means to fortify your family against the impacts of a hurricane.
Yeah.
You're going to have it. In fact, the ambassador to Dominica at the last conference of parties, mm-hmm. which was held in Katowice, Poland, mm-hmm. It's actually pronounced Katowice. It looks like Katowice.
Nice.
To English speakers. He spoke about how there's no one on the island that hasn't had some impact from the hurricanes mm-hmm. in terms of personal losses.
Right.
And that he recalled one family of seven that was just completely washed out to sea and their bodies were never found. And
wow.
he said this through tears. And mm-hmm. so to hear the personal experiences of people who are living in frontline communities directly impacted by climate change is sobering. To yeah. say the very least.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And
you will
right.
cry with them, I promise you.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Financial resources is a huge thing.
Huge.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can't even afford food to feed your family,
right.
how can you even worry about something
right.
like the climate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
right.
You kind of have to fulfill that first baseline of just basic shelter, security, and hunger. And for a lot of people, climate is kind of almost a luxury issue. It's kind of a thing that they don't even have the luxury to worry about because things are so bad for them just on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important for people who have the power
right.
and have the resources and the time to like dedicate to these bigger problems really have to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, climate change is a threat multiplier. So
yes.
that means that if whatever conditions already exist in the country will be exacerbated by climate change itself. So
mm-hmm.
if you've had that hurricane and you don't have the resources to leave ahead of the storm,
mm-hmm.
You are going to be faced with what's left behind after it leaves if you've survived the storm.
Right.
So there's medical issues there. How
mm-hmm.
do you treat people who have, you know, devastated medical community?
Yeah.
Right. Dysentery is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
so if you weren't sick before, you might be afterward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you going to be able to feed your family? You know.
Where are you going to live?
Yeah. Where are you going to live? What's going to happen to your local economy? Will
mm-hmm.
you be able to generate an income again?
Right. Right.
So and in that case, do you still have the capacity to leave?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's devastating.
It's devastating.
It destroys
yeah.
human lives.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And widespread impacts, I mean, it's going to increase the number of people affected each year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you think we can do on a local level? What do you think people can do on a day-to-day basis to try to mitigate this problem?
I think one thing that's empowering is to take control of your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we live in a first world nation with, you know, that sort of an economy. So
yeah.
our things are wrapped in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
We do go to the grocery store to get our things.
Mm-hmm.
It is shipped in from all over the world. So how are we going to change all that? That's a massive problem that doesn't involve just you and me.
Right. That is something
right.
at the top levels of
right.
politics.
Yeah. But you and I can say, you know what? Why don't we recycle
yeah.
our boxes
mm-hmm.
and or, you know, reuse our gray water or, you know, there's many other things that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, do some local harvesting.
Mm-hmm,
choose
mm-hmm.
to get some of your things within 50 miles of your home.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Eat less meat. Because
always a good one.
Always a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can make personal choices that at least allow you to participate in the outcome.
Agreed.
Carpool places, drive less.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
simple
even
things.
If you have the resources, get an electric car.
Right. Ride your bike to campus.
Ride your bike to campus.
Mm-hmm,
walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
my favorite.
That's a good one.
I love to walk.
Me too.
So
yeah, so absolutely. I think,
mm-hmm.
yes, it is kind of a systemic problem, but at the same time,
yeah.
there's no reason why individuals
right.
can't take control of their choices
right, yeah.
and have a stake in what's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, even if it all goes to hell, I hope it doesn't, but even if it does, you will die knowing at least I try to do something. To make it better.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I think I needed to hear that.
You needed to?
Yeah, I think I needed to hear that too. Yeah. So, but let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely hope
yeah.
like we can
yeah.
work this out and figure this out together and kind of...
At the opening mm-hmm. of the last COP, the
yeah.
president of Fiji addressed the parties and he talked about how we need five times the ambition So we need to be doing five times globally what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. So that is a very sobering thing to hear also. So it requires real commitment and the capacity to dream another dream for humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to envision a different type of order.
Yeah, a different type of order. I mean, even just a different set of priorities that may not, I mean, unlimited growth isn't possible.
Mm-hmm. It's no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely unsustainable. The system will collapse.
Right, yeah, the system will collapse.
Yeah. Consumption.
In a body, we call that cancer.
Yes, exactly. In a society.
Right, yeah.
Ooh, 10 times worse, right? Because it's a cancer and all that's affecting our institutions.
Yeah.
It's affecting everything.
Yeah, I think, though, that, like, I think that the governments of the world, they do take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and the protests, that phrase, the fight against climate change, there's something about that doesn't seem quite right to me because it's actually support for a healthier world.
Right.
So
that's what we want.
Yeah, that's what we want, a healthier world. We can actually leave this place. We can leave the place better than we found it.
Mm-hmm.
Work with the systems. This is not economically limiting, it's economically empowering.
Yes.
We're talking about new industries. Old ones may be converting, using their capital to convert into new types. Being able to choose where your energy comes from. So and energy is really the thing right now. I think that's really where that's going to decide the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Energy would be.
Energy will be the thing that decides. And the solutions will be political.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Choose leaders that choose you.
Choose you. Yes. Agreed. Choose leaders that choose you.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And make you a priority in your existence, your human survival, your well-being and happiness.
And we bang on first world nations a lot. But the truth is, people in those structures are they're the best protected. So there's something about that could maybe be duplicated, but it would require the nations themselves to construct their own systems. So that's technical, that's expertise, that's finance. And so when you're supporting and maybe the outcomes of another nation based on what they want for themselves, then that's also ensuring your own well-being.
Absolutely. Yeah, because everything they do affects me and whatever I do affects them.
Right.
So agreed. I think partnership, cooperation.
I love partnership.
Yes. Breaking down these borders, breaking down these walls between us. For me, that's really the only solution I see to the climate change problem. I keep telling my friends, how can we treat the planet better if we can't even treat each other properly? I think it's such a problem that was caused because of how poorly humans treat each other.
Yeah,
right. And
we
just
certainly do.
The way groups, or just over the course of history, have gone to war against other groups, you know,
or tried to control other groups,
right? Exploit them, enslave them.
Yeah, that's
right.
A better word.
All of that stuff is ongoing.
Right.
None of it really has gone away.
No.
Institutionally,
in many ways, yeah.
It's not there anymore, but in day-to-day life, that mindset is well and alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think until we can get past that.
Yes.
The climate will be in trouble. Because we have to work together.
Yeah.
We have to stop seeing, there is no Christoph and there is no Julie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
It's just humans fighting this problem.
Yeah.
It's us against the problem.
I think we have to hurry. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Be committed to a better outcome right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super important that we have to jump on this today.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I hope this was helpful
for
our community.
I hope it was too.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if there are any questions about anything, or you can always email us and find us on our KISC website. There's our contact information. And thank you so much, Julie, for being in the studio with me today.
Thank you very much. I feel so happy to have been here. Thank you. You're a gracious host.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
ASISU Speaks with Christoph Kassoun, airing every Tuesday at 7 p.m. through the academic school year here on KISU. Find an audio archive of all past episodes at kisu.org, click on Programs, and ASISU Speaks. Coming up next, it's All Songs Considered from National Public Radio.